Hello and welcome to another episode of the Order Shorter Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Meany.
And today's Spring Day, finally.
Well, the day of recording is finally Spring Day,
yes.
And it's, well, I mean, it'll be Spring Week when this airs, right?
It still will be Spring Week. Yeah, it will be.
I mean, like how far does spring go into September?
I mean, spring is 3 months, so.
Yeah, so it's still spring.
It's still going to be spring.
Spring has sprung.
Yeah, I'm really excited because my plants were really struggling. I won't lie to you.
Your plants were struggling?
Yeah, I got into plants and like.
You got into plants?
Yeah. A plant.
What do you grow?
Like plants and stuff.
What plants?
I don't know what they call, but like flowers and like, yeah, flowers and
you
like
got green
fruit
fingers suddenly?
Yeah.
Like what, in the garden or in pots?
In the garden. Well, a little bit of both. So I have indoor plants and then on the outside I have a few plants.
Have you killed any?
I've killed a few. You gotta break some eggs sometimes to make a scrambled egg. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I would not have thought that.
Yeah, it's kind of my thing. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Bonsais? No?
No, but I'm definitely considering getting one.
I had one or two bonsais in my life.
Yeah.
Bonsais is definitely a long game.
Yeah.
Like you got to wait for those things to grow. You can't just keep snipping them.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't think I would like grow one from scratch. I think I would definitely buy one that's like.
No, not grow from scratch, but even if it's like big. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing grows so slowly. It's like a sloth.
Yeah. Yeah. But they look cool.
No, they're very cool. They're very cool, but I want to trim it. I want to like shape it and like grow faster.
You're going to wait a while. Anyways, so Belgian Grand Prix just happened. I didn't think there's any way of getting through this episode without talking about the insanity that was Spa.
I'm more and more of the opinion that Verstappen deserves this championship.
For sure. Nine wins,
besides the nine
and
wins.
And that drive that he did was
like
just
coming from clutch. The back,
yep.
You know, he just really dominated that race.
I was looking back at a few episodes ago just to see if our predictions have been spot on. And yeah, I mean, at this point, it's hard to see how anyone is even geared mentally to kind of address the driving that he's currently doing.
Yeah. And, like Sainz had the perfect opportunity in the front there.
Yep. Ferrari did it again.
Like it was their race to lose and they lost it.
Yeah.
But how many times have I said that over the last probably 20 years of watching Formula One?
Yeah.
Ferrari, when it's their race to lose, they lose it.
Yeah. They just don't have that clutch mentality of like making sure. They make mistakes.
Red Bull just hustles.
Yeah.
They just.
Well, that's always been their thing. I think it's a culture thing. Just, even when they were in the slower vehicle, they had that thing about them where they were just going to find a way.
Mm.
Find a way, where it doesn't exist.
They don't make strategic mistakes very often.
No, never ever.
Whereas Ferrari, they can have the perfect car and strategically they just fall over.
Yeah.
Blanket comments. But at the end of the day, Ferrari came into the season with the car.
They did, yeah.
They came into the season with a dominant car.
Look, they don't have an excuse.
I mean, let's be honest. They were beating Red Bull in the beginning, the first part of the season.
Hands down.
In terms of the car.
Yeah. I mean, now it's a different story, but definitely in the first five races, there was no car that was even as,
They were quicker. They could have been in ahead on points right now.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
It's disappointing. I don't know. I haven't jumped ship from Ferrari in two decades. But I don't really want to jump ship to Red Bull because Red Bull's not a manufacturer.
We'll take you, George. We accept your
pledge.
Have
you jumped ship from Mercedes to Red Bull?
No, I'm saying we'll accept your application to come to Mercedes.
No, I'm not going to Mercedes. It's not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's those happened today.
Talking
race.
About that, Festival of Motoring last weekend.
Yeah.
The Mercedes-Benz EQC, did you see it?
I did. I think they had the EQA and the EQS and the EQC.
Yes.
I did see an article saying that they're actually going to be releasing four new EVs, until the end of this year. So,
yeah. I mean,
exciting stuff. What do you think about them?
The only one I liked was the one with the 5,000 screens inside.
I didn't go into any of them.
Didn't you?
No.
Okay. And I think it's a really compelling interior, and up at a similar standard to BMW's iX40 and 50.
Mm.
BMW's iX40 and 50 as an EV. I think is probably one of the most futuristic EVs on the road. Besides the Tesla.
Yeah.
And the only reason I wouldn't buy, I wouldn't drive the iX 40 or 50 is because of the crystals. It's the only reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of bedazzled.
Like no, it's too blingy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why I don't like, well, I love Mercedes, obviously, but that's my driving experience with Mercedes-Benzes have always been not fantastic compared to some of their competitors. And that's, they look fantastic. It's like, oh, this pretty thing. But man,
I've owned two Mercedes in my life.
Yeah.
Loved them when I owned them.
Yeah.
But back to Formula One. Do you see Audi has announced that they're going to be in Formula One?
2026, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's
Audi's announced, and then
and Porsche,
and then disappointingly, South Africa's not on the race calendar for
2024. Yes, yes. You know, I heard some rumblings when I was at Festival of Motoring 1000 happen, and a day later the announcement came out. I think it was first Spa. They said Spa was coming back on the calendar for next year, and that's
and then
I
knew.
Yeah, there's no way that you can have both of them.
No,
in the same year.
So I don't know. I don't know what the reasons are. You know, maybe we can dig into that. Why not South Africa? I'm not saying why Spa, but why not South Africa? What is it that? I mean,
it's always going to be money.
There can only be two reasons in my mind, right? The first reason is the South African government won't invest.
Mm.
Okay, because to bring a race like that to the country, you've got to invest. Okay, two, the track's not right. Mm. You know, is there do we have to have changes to the track? You know, to Kyalami as a track. I'm not sure. Whether the track is right for Formula One or not. But that's I don't know. But or is there an alternative like a street race? What would be very cool is a street race in Cape Town.
For sure, that is a nice alternative. Yeah. But I want Kyalami.
Everybody does because it was there
Kyalami.
Before.
Yeah, it's just Kyalami is
historic.
Track,
it's an iconic track.
Yeah.
So for me, it can only be two things. Yeah. Either the track's not right, but I don't think that's the problem.
I think that's the problem.
I think it's money, like you say.
Yeah, it's always money. I don't know what the setup in terms of the deal was because Kyalami is privately owned. So I don't know, what the situation was there. Maybe they didn't want to work with the governments. Maybe, there's many different scenarios that you can have here.
What, F1?
Yeah.
FIA, should I say.
Yeah. And the owners of the track.
But the Formula E is also run by the FIA, right?
I believe it is, yeah.
Yes.
No, it has to be, yeah.
So, so if that's coming to Cape Town, I don't know whether it is or isn't, if it's confirmed.
No, I believe it is, yeah.
I think it is confirmed. But if Formula E is coming to Cape Town.
Why not use the same venue?
No, that means the FIA is willing to work with
the government.
With South Africa.
Yeah.
So why not Formula One?
Let's see what happens. I did hear that it's probably going to be the following year.
We'll know. It's speculation.
Yeah, at this point.
A lot of speculation.
Yeah.
They're not going to change the race calendar every single bloody year, are they?
They change it every single year.
Huh?
Yeah. After the pandemic, it's been...
mayhem. Well, what are we talking about today?
Moving on. So we have the Now You Know episode. So things you didn't know about your car. So this came about as a conversation I was having with somebody, with one of our colleagues, Kiara. I think she was saying that essentially when your car hits reserve, there's on some vehicles, and I know in motorcycles it's a thing, you can push a button that releases additional reserve fuel, right? And I know on motorcycles this is the thing. But we wanted to find out if
I know motorcycles.
Yeah.
There is
a switch.
There's a tap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So there's a tap under the tank.
Yeah.
And that tap, as a motorcycle rider, you're supposed to switch the tap off when you stop your motorcycle.
Yeah.
To stop any fuel leaks. Okay. And that tap has two sides. It has on and it has reserve.
Mm.
Okay. So that I know is in a motorcycle. Never, ever seen that in a car.
So, the idea was we wanted to find out if it's also in cars.
And?
Well, no, not really.
Okay.
Cars don't operate the same way.
I'd be very surprised. Like, where's that button? I've missed it my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't need it now.
But it kind of led us down this rabbit hole of trying to figure out, like, what else do we just not know about cars? You know, I think first and foremost, most cars are kind of the same, but there's going to be some differences in terms of features and stuff. But what do we not know that's universally kind of across the entire board?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the first one is, did you know that if you are allergic to pollen or pollutants, the best place you can be is in a car?
I wouldn't say that for all cars. So yes, in a car, but that depends on whether the car has a filter for pollens.
Yeah.
Pollen filter. Most modern cars have pollen filters.
Yeah.
But I would imagine it depends on the car. There's a Tesla video that that shows the effect of the pollen filter. Like if you have a look at this is a regular car. Don't worry about the brand of the regular car because I'm assuming that every doesn't car really matter, yes. It doesn't really matter. But the Tesla, so not a Tesla filter and then a Tesla filter, and these two gentlemen are inside the car.
Yeah.
Or one gentleman inside the car, and they've got this red smoke in this bubble.
That's acting as like a pollen.
Just to show where the filter in the Tesla and how it works. And
so the Tesla one is, I believe it can stop bioweapons.
Yes. Yeah. So this was the whole point here. You can see the other car is full of red smoke or whatever it is, and the Tesla's got nothing in it.
Yeah. So there you have it. So you're saying that not all cars essentially, you know.
Well, I think to different degrees. So most cars, I think, have got pollen filters.
Yeah.
But to what effect they work is.
That's kind of up for.
Yeah. I mean, the Tesla has the,
It was like biodefense.
Defense system button thing.
Exactly that, yeah. But
So I suppose you can't compare other cars to a Tesla because Tesla's like built this mechanism.
But, you know, for all intents and purposes, I think 80%, most cars can get rid of about 80%
of the pollens, yeah. So if you have a sneezing fit, go sit in your car.
Go sit in your car, it will kind of solve some of your solutions. The next one, I think a lot of people don't know this, and this started as a thing back in the day when truckers were traveling long distances and they needed a way to cook food, ultimately. And they developed, or not developed, but they found that you can actually cook your car, you can actually cook your food on your car.
In your car's bonnet.
On your car's bonnet, and there's like dedicated Wikipedia pages where you can get different methods of cooking.
Well, I've heard food. Of this before, yeah. And an egg.
Yeah.
Starts cooking at 21 degrees Celsius.
Okay, so that's not very... That's not very hot. Yeah.
You know,
21
so,
degrees?
Yes. The egg starts cooking at 21 degrees Celsius.
Okay, starts cooking, not like... You can't fry it at 21 degrees.
No, I don't think you can fry... You could probably very slowly cook it at 21.
Yeah.
But what does a bonnet of a car's temperature get to? I mean, let's find out.
40, 60 degrees.
Is it 40 or 60?
I would say maybe even more. But that's the thing. On different parts of your car's engine, you can...
No, but you can't cook it on the engine. There's not enough like flat surface there. No, unless you put a pan.
You use like a pan and then you can use it as a... like a.
I just crack an egg on the bonnet. you know.
We should... I would like to see you actually cook an egg.
On the bonnet?
Yes.
It'll slide off.
And to film it.
Nah. No, but I can't cook an egg on the bonnet of my car.
Well, yeah, your car's a...
My car's an EV.
Yeah.
There's no...
Maybe EV. I should do it. And I'll bring the video.
But yes, I've heard of this before. So you can get an egg to cook on the bonnet of a car.
Yeah. So on the bonnet, basically anywhere where heat is generated, you can ultimately use
21 degrees. It's not very high temperature.
No. But this is not just eggs. Like eggs are not the only food you can cook on the car. Next one. So this one I learned literally whilst I was researching this one. So did you know that your petrol tank indicator on your dashboard tells you which side of the car the tank is?
No, I did know this. Learned it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And there's always an arrow on your on your petrol needle or your petrol indicator.
Yeah.
And that shows you the side of the petrol nozzle.
I think if I had that information a few years ago, I think on at least three occasions I would
have. Have you driven into the garage on the wrong side?
A few times. Whenever
you see the petrol attendants taking the pipe
over the car, and it's like, yo, parkour, just to that and like where the actual how to open it. I've also been in scenarios where I couldn't find the release. what's called the release.
Is that after owning the car like a while?
So the most recent case was somebody just got in a new car.
Ah, okay.
It was close to me and I was driving. Yeah, and they didn't ask where it was.
Yeah.
And I was driving at the time and yeah, it was embarrassing. It was really embarrassing. Okay, something else that a lot of people don't know is weather condition indicators. So in South Africa, there's something that you don't usually have to deal with or know that it's on your vehicle. But usually the car will tell you what the weather condition is outside of the car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most cars nowadays have an outside temperature gauge.
Yeah.
My car does. I think and most ice vehicles do too.
Yeah.
Outside temperature gauge. But then you get this ice warning.
Mm.
VWs and Toyotas have them, I know of. I'm pretty sure most other vehicles have it as well.
Yeah.
There's an ice warning if it gets below zero.
Yeah, so it's usually a little snowflake. I think on my car, there's a message that just tells you that the temperature is now below X amount.
Yeah. I don't think it's engine temperature though. It's more outside temperature.
The last time I experienced this was
If you're nice and toasty inside the car, this is telling you don't get out.
Exactly, yeah. I was driving through fog and I remember getting that message. The temperature just dropped drastically. And then it was, yeah. So now you know. Now you'll know why you'd want to know that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know what? There have been instances I've read about over the years overseas, not in South Africa because we don't have the temperatures, where a highway gets backed up and people get stuck on the highway, eventually run out of fuel and then risk their lives because the temperature drops. Because, you know, when your car's running, you've got the heater going.
Yeah.
Right. And in sub-zero, like, you know, in Canada or up in probably top parts of Russia, you've got like minus 10, 20, 30 degree temperatures.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Your car runs out of fuel when you're stuck on a motorway.
Yeah, it can get shaky.
I reckon you can put your life in danger.
For sure.
I mean, imagine that.
Yeah. That must have been the reason for introducing this. Something along those lines. Next one, backseat reminders. So some cars now can detect most cars can detect when your rear doors are open. And this one came as a safety mechanism for kids.
Mm.
So you know when your kids have opened the door.
Most cars now have electronic child safety lock where you can push a button from the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And then you can't open the doors from the back.
Yeah.
And you push another button and you can open the doors. It used to be the manual latch before where...
Yeah, I remember there was like a little thing that you can click.
You can flick and then you can't... But I think it's a safety concern if you need to get out the car. Mm. But most cars do have a...
Like an indicator.
Indicator of which doors open.
Yeah, exactly.
In, you know, boot bonnet.
When it used to kind of, when this was introduced, it used to just say that there's a door that's open and you have to kind of figure it out.
Most cars don't have a bonnet open indicator.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought most...
Boot open, doors open.
Yeah.
But maybe the latest cars now have bonnets. You can detect your bonnets open.
Oh, they're just talking about the boot. Bonnets, okay. Mm. Actually, yeah. No, I wouldn't be surprised about that, yeah. Yeah, but your bonnet's going to open even if you like driving...
Well, if you're driving with the bonnet open, imagine the danger.
I've never heard of a scenario where that's ever happened.
Where the bonnet flips up. No, it's happened.
To who? Did it happen to you?
No, it didn't happen to me, but I've seen pictures of it. Go and Google it.
Okay, I'll definitely.
Because if that bonnet's open and it doesn't have a catch on it, it's going to bend around your windscreen.
Of course, I can see how that can be dangerous. Next one's conversation mirrors. So this one is also new to me, but essentially it's a second mirror that allows you to kind of see what's happening in the rear seat.
Well, I know this in minivans, right? So in big buses and stuff, you've got this mirror where you can see the passengers.
Yeah.
But when I Googled this, you can actually buy conversation mirrors that you can stick to the
roof. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. I don't know about this technology.
Technology, it's just a mirror.
You're like spying. You're spying.
Well, you want to see the person when you talk to them, but you're supposed to be watching the road.
For sure. That's another reason why this shouldn't be a thing. I know the new Honda minivans, they've taken a step further and there's actually a camera now. You can go and listen in on what's happening at the back as well as see what's going on without taking your eyes off the road.
Oh, interesting.
So that's kind of the next
evolution.
Evolution in the spy tech. for the rear. Then drowsiness detectors, kind of straightforward?
Well, I mean, is it straightforward? Because drowsiness detector doesn't exist in most cars.
Yeah.
It's really mostly in the latest EVs like Tesla. I haven't seen
Have you ever experienced
a drowsiness detector? Yeah. No, I've never seen it. I've never seen this tech in any car in South Africa. If it exists, I'm going to go and look for it.
So essentially how it works is it picks up on your body language ultimately, and your driving be able to see or tell if you're tired. Usually it's a little coffee sign that comes up and says, hey, just take a break. A lot of fatal crashes happen as a result of people falling asleep at the wheel.
I mean, I think being tired is worse than being drunk. Not that drunk driving is is acceptable, because it's absolutely not.
Yeah.
But I think that falling asleep behind the wheel is a lot more dangerous than anything else.
Because you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
You know, at least if you are under the influence, you are cognizant that you're okay, I'm under the influence. Whereas when you're sleeping or when you're tired, you just kind of doze off.
What about people that suffer from, is it called narcolepsy?
Is that where
you just spontaneously fall asleep?
Yeah. I don't think you would be allowed to drive in those circumstances.
Well, how do you know narcolepsy? Narcolepsy definition is a chronic sleep disorder characterized by overwhelming daytime drowsiness and sudden attack of sleep. Yes, it's called narcolepsy.
Are you allowed to drive if you suffer from that?
Well, I mean, I suppose you would have to
declare,
say that you suffer from narcolepsy, right?
We hope so. I certainly hope so.
I've heard of people that, like, you know, they're sitting here having a conversation and they're asleep.
Yeah, no. I don't think. Look, I don't know how the logistics with that, you know, how that would work, but I would imagine that's something that we're trying to avoid.
Well, I think falling asleep behind the wheel is much worse than anything else.
100%. Then tire pressure monitoring system. So this is in most modern cars now, this exists. But I think from 2007, specifically in the US, this became mandated on all new vehicles.
It exists on all vehicles in South Africa.
No,
because I certainly haven't seen it on all vehicles. My vehicle has it, and it's very useful.
It is. Extremely
I had
useful.
A slow puncture on my left rear wheel in my EV.
Yeah,
and the thing kept on going flat.
Mm.
Like, not flat, but just kept on the tire pressure just coming down.
Yeah.
And it would say, I'd wake up the next morning, get in the car, 1.9 bar, whereas it's supposed to be 2.5 on an EV because the weight of the car. And every 2-3 weeks, I'd have to pump this tire. And eventually I found that there was
actually a slow puncture.
There was a slow puncture in it.
Yeah.
And it plugged it for me and it's been fine ever since.
But if I
didn't have the tire pressure warning.
You would get to a point where now you're, you know,
I wouldn't, might not have known, might have had a blowout. It can be very dangerous.
Yeah. I cannot tell you how many times my tire pressure monitor has told me that my pressure is low before I noticed.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do a check around your car before you drive. But
you're supposed to, yes.
You're supposed to.
By law, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, when you go and do your driving test, you're supposed to go check under the car if you can fail if you don't do that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And most people don't actually do that on a daily basis. But these sort of things can be the difference between ultimately life and death in some sense.
I think having a flat tire. So what happens when a tire is slightly flat? Where's the danger? So it's not about the tire being completely flat. If a tire is, let's say your tire's got to be pumped to 2.5, like my car's tires have to be, right? And I drive with the tire at 1.5, okay, almost half the pressure. Let's say 1.25 at half the pressure.
Yeah.
Where the difference comes in is the tire becomes like a sausage shape on the outer edge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the tire wall is not as strong as the actual tire where the tread is.
Mm.
Okay. It's not as strong. Mm. So what happens is, because that shape change, it generates heat around the edge of the tire.
Okay.
And that causes the
blowout. So what is the blowout? Potential blowout yes. as a result? Okay.
Yes. And that then is a sudden failure of the tire.
Yeah.
Which, if you're doing 100 Ks an hour.
So this is at speed, because I know when people go off-roading, for instance, they usually deflate a little bit.
But that's doing not going at low speeds, yes. So the heat is generated by the high speed with a low pressure tire. That's why they say, if you're going to pack your car with four people, luggage, increase the pressure.
Mm.
Because the weight on the car causes that outer edge of the tire to bubble.
Mm.
as the tire surface. So imagine the weight of the car is on the tire. The part that's touching the tar is bubbled out because of the weight, yeah, right? And the rest of the tire is not. So you've got this situation where the tire expands, contracts as it's going round.
Yeah.
And that's what causes the heat and that causes the blowout.
I see. The more you
Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous.
Those are 8 things that you potentially did not know. But before we leave, I want to give you 3 things that you potentially don't even know about cars in general. Random facts. I don't know if you know this, but in South Africa, you can actually buy a car that has flamethrowers.
So this was developed with BMW. Many. I've seen the videos. This many years ago.
Yeah.
At the time of hijacking. Mm. Whether this is entirely legal or not, I don't know.
That's another question. Yeah.
You know, you're effectively going to fry the person on the outside of the car.
That's murder. You become a murderer with this flamethrower. Very problematic car. So. You know, and this was a South African special. It's a one-off.
You can go and Google it. There are videos.
Yeah, for sure. And then, did you know that cruise control was created by a blind man?
No.
Yep. It was kind of the brainchild of a mechanical engineer who was blind. He had the idea of creating cruise control because of the change in speed.
I would have imagined adaptive cruise control would have been created by a blind man. But cruise control itself, that's interesting.
And then the last one is, in Switzerland, your speeding fines are based on your income. So, you know, depending on your income, you pay more or less for your traffic fines.
So if you don't have a job, you can speed.
You can go as fast as you want.
I think that's a bit dumb. It shouldn't be based on your income. It should be based on the crime.
It's probably a minimum, you know, bans, I would assume. But yeah, those are a few facts that you potentially do not know about your car. And cars in general. That's all we have for today.
Awesome.